Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I just want to say that we honor you, all the dads, and hopefully you'll get in touch with your dad if you haven't done so yet. I look forward to FaceTiming with my dad tonight. Man, when I FaceTime my dad, it's a long FaceTime. I don't know if you've ever talked to my dad, but he can talk. And so anyway, we're going to FaceTime tonight. But today we just want to honor all the dads out there. We're so thankful for our fathers. And to every dad out there, we honor you today. And I want you to know, every dad, that you literally are the most influential person in your family's life. I've worked in ministry, I've worked in youth ministry, and I have found that the dad is the most influential person in the life. And you say, well, my dad wasn't around, how can you say that? He was very influential in your life, even in his absence. And so fathers are very, very influential in our lives. But I want to say a big thank you to every dad who leads, who loves, and lays down his life for his family every day. Come on, can we give a hand for dads? So I was debating if I would tell a story, one of my dad's stories today, because I have a bunch of them. And I know he makes an appearance here from time to time. And so I don't want to cross any lines, but this morning I just feel the urge to tell you one of the great all-time stories. I haven't told this one before. But my dad was an old school dad. He grew up and there was no such thing as sleeping late ever. Like sleeping late to them was 6 a.m. And so because there was this strong work ethic in our family, and my grandfather, he just believed that if you were alive, you needed to be working. And so, all right, got some amens going. And so my dad, whenever he raised us, he wanted to make sure that we had some work ethic. And my mom, she was the mercy of the house. Come on, any mamas know what I'm talking about. Got to have a mama with some mercy. I know some of you, it's flipped. The dad's the mercy one. The mama, she's the one that calls. Well, let's not say it that way. It's Father's Day. But anyway, this one particular Saturday morning, somehow or another, my brother and I, my older brother and I, we shared a room together. And so we finagled a way to talk my mom into letting us sleep in a little bit. But my dad wasn't a part of that plan. And so what he decided to do, because we hadn't woken up yet, he decided the yard needed to be mowed. And so he took the lawnmower, cranked it, and parked it in front of the window by our bedroom. And so the lawnmower is running the entire time, which was, we knew when we heard it, we knew dad expects us to go and mow the lawn. And so of course we get up, and my older brother Jason, which I really hope he comes by soon, we always called him the house cat. And just, he was not the guy who wanted to do the outdoor work. And so we would make a deal. I would tell him, I will go mow the lawn if you will clean the toilets. That sounds like a great trade-off, am I right? Come on, fellas, that's a good one. I'll sweat as long as I don't have to stick my hands in that stuff. And so anyway, he took the inside route and played house cat, and I went out to mow the lawn. And my dad was trying to start the weed eater, weed whacker, whatever you want to call it. We called it a weed eater. And my dad, he never liked buying this kind of equipment, ever. He was the guy who liked to find it somewhere and then try to make it work. Anybody know that kind of person? Well, there was a company that he worked for that owned this tractor supply place, and the building caught on fire, and there was a really good weed eater in there, like a Steel brand weed eater. Steel is a good brand, not commercial, just trying to tell you the story. And so he got the Steel weed eater and brought it home, and his plan was to fix it and make it work. And so he put some money into this thing, and he wound up spending more money to fix it than he would have just buying one brand new. But you know, that's how my dad rolled. And so I'm mowing the lawn, and I see him over underneath our carport trying to crank this weed eater. And so when my dad works on a lawnmower or a weed eater, you have to stop and pay attention, because it's some of the best comedy you will ever see in your life. And so I see my dad, and he's pulling on this thing, he's making all these adjustments, he's pulling, and I'm stopping and I'm listening to him, and I overhear my dad speaking to the weed eater. And this is what he's saying. He's pulling on it. Yes, Mr. Weed Eater. And it starts off with a subtle tone. He's calm. Yes, Mr. Weed Eater. And it starts to escalate. He never crossed the line and started using other words that other people would use. I could say that. But he began to talk, and he would pull on it a little bit. And he started becoming a little more expressive. And so he pulled on it, and he's like, yes, Mr. Weed Eater, and it wouldn't crank, and so I saw him kick it. And so at this time, my cousin who lived next door comes over, and we're cracking up. And I think my dad overheard us cracking up while he's trying to crank the Weed Eater, and so that sent him to a whole nother level. And so he's pulling on this thing. Next thing you know, he picks it up and he throws it. And he's still screaming at the Weed Eater. Yes, Mr. Weed Eater, you know how to do this to me. That's what he's saying over and over and over. And so he's pulling on it. Nothing is happening. He's adjusting it. Nothing's happening. He's taking stuff off, putting it back on. And the whole time, he just keeps saying, yes, Mr. Weed Eater, over and over. And nothing is happening. And so he finally, he's pulling on, and he loses it. He just loses his mind. He grabs the whole entire Weed Eater and just throws it. Now, we had a big ditch behind our house, huge ditch. And you don't know what it's like growing up until you have a huge ditch behind your house, am I right? Because when you got a big one, you got to clean it out. And that's what he was trying to do, get the Weed Eater ready so that we can get in the ditch and clean it out. Well, he just took it and threw it in there. And so he's losing his mind going in the house. The funniest part of the story, though, was my uncle, who was my dad's brother, was next door watching the whole thing. And we could see him cracking up. He walks into the ditch, grabs the Weed Eater, and pulls it. And first crank, it starts. And that just sent my dad into a tailspin. Just lost his mind. And my dad gave the Weed Eater to my uncle that day. It was over. So I have a few. So there was another time. I'm going to tell this story, too. I didn't know, but it's funny. My dad was a fix-it-all kind of guy. Anybody got a dad that's a fix-it-all kind of guy? He does not believe in paying anybody to fix anything. Like, we fix it. That's his role, okay? And so, so my mom's car was, the water pump had gone out on it. And so, again, it was a 6 a.m. wake-up call, and he says, today we're going to fix your mom's car. And I said, okay, this can mean a whole lot. That means I'm going to be holding a flashlight. That's basically what that means. And so he said, I'm going to bring your mom to work. I want you to get everything ready. When I get back, we're going to start taking this thing apart. So, okay, so we start working on the car and everything. And anything mechanical just pushes my dad's buttons. Like, and then he can't see. God bless the man, he can't see. And so he's got these glasses, and back then he had those big glasses. Like, and some of the kids are wearing them now. Like, they think they're cool, but I need you to know, like, in 85, that was the rocking thing. I don't see what all the appeal is. But anyway, he had these huge glasses, and he would always get mad about the glare that was on his glasses, and he couldn't see. And so he would ask me to hold the flashlight so he can see underneath the hood. And I can remember him saying this, who you holding the flashlight for, me or you? I said, I'm just trying to hold it there. He said, hold it right here. I said, Dad, I can't even see where I'm shining this thing. Hold it for me, not for you. And so I'm just sitting there holding it, just looking around. And then, you know, what happens, your curiosity, you want to see. And so you start moving the light so you can see. And you grab my hand and move it back and everything. So we start taking this water pump off, and so we get it off, and then we jump in the truck, and we have to go to the auto parts place, and he gets a new one. We come back, and everything seems to be going fine so far. So it's warming up throughout the day, so he says, go get the big fan, and we're going to put it right here by the car, and it'll cool us off while we work. So I'm thinking, hey, things are going pretty well today. This could be a good day for us. And so I get the fan. I have all the tools and everything. And so I got the fan set up, and we're under there and hold the light. So I'm holding the light. Don't know what I'm looking at, but I'm holding the light for him. And he's working and got the fan on. And he's complimenting. He said, man, isn't this nice? We're actually getting something done. We're not having any struggles. And just about then, the fan fell off the car. Breaks the fan, so he looks at me. He said, you going to hold that? So, fan falls. Well, the fan broke. So now he's kind of flustered a little bit. So we're working. We get this thing just about on, and water starts leaking everywhere. And he starts saying this. I'm not lying. This is the words coming out of his mouth. Sis, boom, ba, ra, ra, ra. All I do is fight, fight, fight. And I'm dumbfounded. I'm holding the flashlight, and I'm like, what? And my brother comes out the house. He can hear my dad getting, and my brother's laughing, and my dad heard my brother laughing. And so he just escalated, and he kept saying this over. He has these little phrases that he just gets stuck on. And so we're changing this water pump out, and it says, boom, ba, rah, rah, rah. All I do is fight, fight. And he's like hitting the car. Like, he's just throwing tools and all this stuff. And so finally we get it on. everything seems to be going fine. And he said, okay, I want you to get in the car. I want you to crank it, okay? But don't crank it fast. Crank it slow. Anybody know how to do that? I don't know. So I get in the car, and I'm like in slow motion. Too fast. Turn it off. So I turn it off. Dad, I don't know what to do, man. So try to do it again. And he says, okay, grab the light. The car's running. Everything's going fine. Grab the light. And I'm shining the light in there, and he's looking around. He said, you see anything? I don't know what we're looking for, but looks like everything's all right. He said, okay, get underneath and look. So I got underneath and look. I said, Dad, you may want to look at this. And when he looked underneath there, there was water going all over under the car, and he just lost it to a whole nother level. And then the phone rang. It was my mom. She needed him to come get her from work early. Oh, my goodness. So he went crazy that day. And don't tell him those stories. Those are just between us. But sis, boom, ba, rah, 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 all I do is fight, fight, fight. That was his line. And then, yes, Mr. Wheatear. So there you go. You got a couple stories. I'm trying to be respectful of my dad, but I can really animate those stories in the right setting. But, man, what a childhood. Yeah, one of the greatest memories, though, about my dad was he loved to build things all the time. He loved to build just about anything. And I remember he decided that we were going to put a fireplace in our house. The house that we had didn't have a fireplace. You live in South Louisiana, it's hot all the time. There's no need. But he thought it would be nice to have one. And so, again, instead of calling someone to come put it in, he decided that we were going to do it. And do not think that he pulled a permit. Do not think that he did any of that, because that's just not how he worked. And so we went and we bought this fireplace thing to put in. And I remember working with him in the living room. We pulled the carpet up and we're getting all this stuff going in there. And so we installed this fireplace and we lit it for the first time. It was on Thanksgiving Day. It was about 85 degrees outside, but we were finished. And so you have to light the fireplace. So we lit the fireplace, okay? And so we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, but we only had a little bit of firewood. And so now we go from building this fireplace. My dad decided it's time for us to start cutting some firewood. And so, you know, you're chopping wood with an axe. It kind of gets old after a little while. And he decided we're going to build a log splitter. I don't know if that ever made your top 10 list of things that you wanted to build, but he said, we're going to build a log splitter. And so I'm like, okay, interesting. And so every day, this was before computers, okay? Every day he had these catalogs with all of these different parts that he would study, and he would be on the phone. He was ordering stuff, and it was constantly coming in. And I remember him saying, come on, come help me out here. We're building a log splitter. And we would go out there, and we would build this thing. And after about 8 months, we cranked it up, and it actually worked. Like, it really, really, really worked. In fact, it worked so well, my dad decided that he was going to start a business on the side cutting firewood, and I would be his employee for free. FR2Es, that's how much I was paid. Nothing. And so it was amazing because the lazy boy engineering actually came to pass. Like, it really happened. All this stuff I remember him doing, it happened. And I didn't realize all of this stuff was, what he was doing was he was building all this, but I didn't realize that what he was building was actually playing a part in building me. I didn't realize that all these different things that I was participating in, even the weed eater and even the water pump, I didn't realize that it was building me. And some of you would make reference to some of the negativity that may have came out of that. But I can tell you this, when I work on a weed eater, that is not what I sound like. And when I work on the car, that is not at all what I sound like. But he was a builder. In fact, he built buildings for a living. He was an iron worker, and he built steel buildings, and then he got into residential. In fact, today he's building houses, and he loved building things. And I think that's part of our nature. We like building things. I see these young kids, and used to we would play with Legos. Anybody in here got a background with Legos? Okay, what about Lincoln Logs? Let's go really old school. Come on. Lincoln Logs double as drumsticks, just saying. I'm telling you, I was a drummer, and so you had to, you know, improvise a little bit. Nowadays, it's not Legos as much as it is things like Minecraft. Kids are building these whole entire little worlds with Minecraft. I see a couple dudes nodding their head. Hey, don't drift away from the Legos, okay? But I was trying to figure, like, what do girls build? And the only thing I can come up with is, like, a shoe collection. I don't know. What do y'all build? Like, shoe collections, dollhouses? My daughter didn't build hers. I promise you, I did. And so, but we like building things. Coaches build teams. We build houses. We build buildings. We're trying to build families, am I right? Yeah. Trying to build a great home. Trying to build a great life because we're builders. And when you look throughout the Bible, there's some building that goes on. In fact, one of the early stories in Genesis, there was a group of people that got together and they decided they were going to build a tower that reached heaven. It was called the Tower of Babel. They said, hey, we can reach heaven if we all work together. And so they started building this tower. It's called the Tower of Babel. Then there's the story of Noah who built the ark. And then there's the story of Solomon who built God a temple. And so you see all these stories. Then there's Nehemiah who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And so you see this history of building that's going on throughout the Bible. But perhaps probably the greatest thing to be built was in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, sometimes whenever we hear something like this, we don't take it personal because we think that it's something that is out there instead of something that's actually in here. But whenever he says that I will build my church, what he's saying is, I'm going to build you. Nudge your neighbor and say he wants to build you. And so this morning, what I want to talk about today on this Father's Day is God wants to build you. He wants to build us. Because I think about dads, they like to build things. They like to throw the directions away and just kind of go for the picture. Any fellas with me in here? One time, my kids wanted this swing set. It's one of those big wood ones. Like, we bought it at Sam's Club. And I did not realize there were that many parts to it. But me and my dad, we've been in enough of these projects. We just figured, you know, we can do this. It's just like a swing. And so we started taking this thing out of the box, and it was all over the backyard, like crazy stuff. And so we have to dig the instructions out of the trash because we needed them for that project. But just like building things. And they gave us the option to hire somebody to come build it for $300. And I remember loading it up in the truck. My dad was like, I ain't paying nobody $300 to build something that we can build ourselves. Anybody know somebody like that? That's just how he was, man. I ain't paying nobody to do something we can do ourselves. And so it's kind of the culture I grew up in. And so all this focus, though, with building, we focus on us building something. Like, we focus on what we can do with our hands, what we're able to accomplish. But what about what God wants to accomplish, what God wants to build in you? This whole idea of Jesus building the church, it shifts the focus from what we're trying to do and all the great things that we feel like we can accomplish and brings it to what Jesus wants to do and what Jesus can do in us. And so when I look at all the things my dad was building and all the things we were doing at the time, I didn't realize that it was actually a piece. It was parts. It was all of these activities that were building me, his life, his love, his work ethic. It was all working together. His temper. It was working together. And you may think it wasn't a good thing for me to be around that temper, but I can tell you this. I learned that's not how I want to be with people, by being around that. His addiction played a part in shaping me. It was actually building me. And even though it was negative, it still played a part in building something in my life. And I want you to know that just like it was all working together, that God causes all things, come on, to work together for your good. Amen. So I learned a lot of who to be and who not to be. I learned a lot of what to do and what not to do from him. And sometimes we just don't realize how it all works because we have this need to have it all perfect. We have this need for it all just to fall exactly in place. And if it doesn't fall exactly in place, then we don't think that it's beneficial. We don't think that it's actually good enough for us. And can I just say this for, on behalf of all the dads? There is no such thing as a perfect dad. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen from an imperfect dad? Amen. Only three of you, I guess. Anyway. But there are things that God puts in our lives. There are people that God will put in your life, and without you realizing it, he puts them in your life to play a part in building you. In fact, there are people that are not in your life that God has not put in your life to play a part in building you. And we don't like that sometimes because we want it all. Like the person out there who is single, they don't have that person in their life that they believe that would come and complete their life. But I would say this, that if that person was in your life right now and it's not the right time, they may cause something to be incomplete in your life that only God can complete, that if that person came in your life, wouldn't be completed. And then whenever you did get married, you would be incomplete and it would be a train wreck. Are you seeing it? I'm not trying to pick on single people. I'm just saying this is the things that we don't realize. Because we believe that it should all be just right. And if that God was going to bless me, it's going to be perfect. And this is what I found, is that God doesn't do things on our terms. He does things according to his will. Because if it was our will, there would never be a struggle. Watch this. There would never be a need to sacrifice. There would never be a need to surrender. There would never ever be a need to believe and trust. It would all just be handed to us on silver platters, and that can't build anything worthwhile in our lives. It would not build anything that's going to last in our lives. And what I learned, like from my dad, was there were some days where I just didn't get it, where I was holding the flashlight and I thought it was pointless, but now I understand what he needed from me. He needed me to hold the light so that he could see. And the whole time what he was doing in my life was he was holding the light so that I could see. Are you grabbing that? He was holding the light on Jesus the whole time so that I could see, but I wasn't looking always in that direction. I was looking a lot at my own thing. He's building. God wants to build something in you. Here's a couple of verses that I'm going to throw at you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are both God's workers and you are God's field." Watch this. You are God's building. You are God's building. There's one thing that God is building on this earth today, and it is his church. And when we say his church, we're not talking about a corporate entity. We're talking about a corporate gathering of people that includes people like you and me. And God is building you. In fact, some of the things that you're walking through right now that you're trying to figure out what it all means, what it's all about, God is actually using it to build you. God is using your success to build you. God is using your struggle to build you. God is using your lack to build you. We don't always see it that way, but watch this. It's in our lack that we search for new answers. It's in the areas that we don't know that we seek. Are you grabbing this today? It's in the areas where we're struggling. It's in the areas where we don't have that we actually look and we seek. And perhaps that's the place where we find God. Anyone ever been in a situation so bad before that all you could do was pray? Come on. And that's the point that God's trying to get us to. The point that we completely rely on him, that we're praying, we're crying out to him so that we finally see him. Watch this. We finally see him as Father. Let me sum some things up for you. There are so many things going on in your life. And the whole point of it that God is trying to do is trying to help you to see him as Father. Father. When I was 11 years old, my brother was having his birthday, and we decided to do this camp out. And we lived on family land. We had a lot of property and had a bunch of cousins, and we were all around the same age, and so we're going to have this camp out. And when a group of boys, 11, 12, 13-year-old, plan a camp out, you better keep an eye on them. Just saying, you better keep an eye on them. And my grandfather had some rental properties, and in this rental property, this one house was a girl named Patricia. And Patricia was a good-looking girl. Now, I was 11, and I didn't understand all of that yet, but my brother and all my cousins, they understood that. And so they told us, listen, tonight we're going to go check out Patricia. I have no clue what that means. And I have my other cousin. Y'all ready for this? My cousin Earl. Come on, now we're rolling somewhere. Now we're going somewhere. Earl was a little bit younger than me. And so they devised this whole entire plan that they were going to go check out Patricia tonight. And so there's about seven or eight of us, and this was the plan. We're going to go to her window, and you and Earl will hide in the big ditch so that no one will see you. I have no clue what we're doing. I'm just going along for the ride. And so they say, stay here, get down. So we get down in the ditch, and I look at her. I'm like, what are they doing? I don't know. They said they're going to check out Patricia. Who cares about Patricia? I mean, she wasn't invited to the camp out. Like, that's all we could think. And so they go on to the house. And about 30 seconds later, we hear this, run, run. And so we jump out of the ditch, and we don't know what to do. And so we just run, and we're running. And it's like, get in the tent. Act like you're sleeping. Get in the tent. Act like you're sleeping. It's like, how do you act like you're sleeping after you've been running? You're like, got like asthma or something, you know? And so we get in the tent, and we're trying to act cool, like nothing's going on. And a few minutes later, my dad comes out there. And this is the words that came out of his mouth. Shut it down. Everyone go home. Shut it down. Jason Wade in the house. So he brings us in the room, and this is what he said. I don't even want to hear an explanation. It's over for both of you. And my dad was, and you may not agree with this, but my dad believed in imparting wisdom into my life forcefully using objects, leather objects. It wasn't a spanking, that was a whipping with a belt. And it worked on me, okay? And I remember, man, he just went for it. And I was trying to turn him around. I was trying to turn around like, Dad, I didn't even know what we were doing. I don't want to hear it. He was just laying the wood, you know? I'm like, and so he leaves out, and I'm looking at my brother. I'm like, what did y'all do? Like, I didn't even know what we had done wrong. I was clueless. It wasn't until I was 22 years old, seriously, 22 years old at a Christmas gathering that I was finally able to explain this to my dad. Like, and I had all the cousins that were there that said he had no clue. He and Earl did not know it. They just lay down in the ditch. That's all they did. And so I said, you see, Dad, you whipped me for nothing. And do you know what he said? He said, well, all those whippets for all the other times I didn't know what you were doing, that you probably needed it. I didn't know they were going to peep through her window. That's so innocent. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I don't know. I just feel like I got to tell y'all stories today. I don't know. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you, watch this, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. When I look at scripture, I see that God, he has a plan. And you hear this so much that sometimes we don't process it completely. If you were going to build a building, if you were going to build a home, you would have a set of plans, some blueprints. And this blueprint would give the details, the measurements, all of the schematics, all of the mechanical, all of the electrical, all of the AC, the HVAC, all of these different things. It gives you the details of everything needs to be, how it needs to go. But even though all the details are on the plans, it still takes someone who knows what they're doing to put it all together. Like, I need you to grab this today. Because a lot of us think that we can put it all together. But we've never built anything like this before. Are you grabbing this? You've never built a life like this before. It's like when you have kids, you feel like you know what you're doing, but let's just be honest. We don't really know what we're doing. We just like everybody to think we do. When you get married, every dude in here acts like he knows exactly how it's going to work. And we really do know exactly how it's going to work. I don't want to throw the men under the bus. It's Father's Day. And if we didn't know how it was going to work, we would talk to another dude about it. But a lot of times what we're trying to do is we believe that if we can just get all the details, then I could build this myself. That I could build my life myself. Because I like to build, and it's kind of wired in us. We build things, and we watch these shows. We watch things like HGTV, where they, in 30 minutes, they tear the whole house down and rebuild it, and it's enough to get us to go to one of these home improvement houses, buy a bunch of stuff that we don't even know what it is, but we saw it in a show, and we're trying to pull it off. And somehow or another, this computes to us building our lives, and we just believe that we could do this. We believe that we can put it together, but it's going to take a master builder to build a masterpiece. In Ephesians, he called us his masterpiece. And what I see us doing is this. Instead of going to the master to put the masterpiece together, we're trying to piece this thing all together. And we step back and look at it, and we definitely look like unqualified, unexperienced people trying to build a life and just trying to get God's blessing sticker all over it. But we're missing the blessings of God because we missed the whole point. We missed the Father. We missed Him. And I want to ask this question. What if you get it all? What if everything in your life was perfect and you missed Him? What if every child that you have was just right and never did anything wrong? You would be so happy, you'd be so excited, but you would be so unfulfilled because you would miss Him. And this is kind of the MO of our lives. We're trying to build these perfect lives, but we're missing out on the Father. And because of that, every little thing that we see in our life that isn't just right, that isn't perfect, we think that God is not involved in it, but God actually is there. He's in the mess. He's in the imperfect. He's in the crazy. He's in the struggle. He's in it all. But we don't see it that way. Because we believe that if God's in it, it's all just right. If you ever read through the Old Testament, you see, man, the Old Testament is crazy. There's people doing things that they should not be doing. Am I right? There's situations going on that should never have been going on. And it's easy to look at it and say, God, where were you? But He was right there on the scene the entire time. He was there with them. They just didn't see what He was actually building. They didn't realize that all of this was pointing towards one person, and that one person was Jesus. All they saw was their struggle. All they saw was, I'm not in the promised land yet. Why is it taking so long? Why are we eating manna every day in the wilderness? When are we going to eat some real food? When are we going to live in the land that's flowing with milk and honey, the promised land? When are we going to get there? And if we're not careful, we live our whole lives hoping we could be somewhere and missing Him right there. Do you know right now in the middle of some craziness in your life that you can have peace? Like, I need us to know that. In the middle of the stormy craziness of your life, you can have peace. Why? Because He is there with you. It's like a child who is in the dark that is so afraid. But you ever went laid by your child in the middle of the night because they couldn't sleep? You didn't sleep well, but they did. They ever came crawled up in your bed and you were trying to push them out, but they won that battle? Or for those of you who are dog people and your dog came in your bed, which I don't know how that works because that ain't happening. It's like everybody sleeps good whenever they come and they're close to you. What if we just thought of it in that case, that if I was just close to the Father, I could have some peace. So God had this plan. His master plan, and His plan was to save us, to set up. He was going to set us up for living abundantly here on this earth. Now, when we think of living an abundant life, our thoughts immediately go to earthly treasures. But we need to think of treasures in heaven, that God has treasures that are greater than what this earth could even handle for our lives. Amen. That's the kind of Father we've got. It's great treasure. And so God sent His Son Jesus to show us His love for us and to save us from our sins. And listen to it like this. He saved us from our worst so that we could see His best. He saved us from all of the worst things that we could ever do, and He saved us for His best. Then He sent us the promised Holy Spirit to empower us to be everything He said we could be and do everything He said we could do. He gave us strength. He gave us spiritual gifts. He provided for our needs. Then He set up His church to keep us together, to keep us on mission, to train us and equip us for every good work that He has prepared for us. All of these things God was doing before you even realized He was doing it for you. All of it. And whenever things in our lives break down, we feel like God's not doing anything. We feel like God's not working. We feel like the Father has forgotten us. But he hasn't forgotten you. He's actually still working. And if there's a word for anybody in here today, maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're overwhelmed. The word is this, is that God is still working on you. He's not finished yet. Tell your neighbor that. He's not finished yet. And some of you are like, I need to tell him that because God's got some more work to do on them. He's not finished yet. So what is he building? He's building his church, which means that he's building us. Some people think that God is too busy with other stuff. And it's not that he's busy, he's working. They think he's not listening. They pray. You ever prayed to God and felt like your prayers bounced off the ceiling? You feel like he's not listening. He's working. Some people expect God to do it all for them. And you may not think he's working on your situation, but I can guarantee you this, he's working in you. He's building something that you may not see because he's building something in you. And our eyes are drawn to the things around us, but what about the things that are in us? And so this morning, I want to give you three keys to allowing God to build you. Three keys. When I was putting this message together, I was wrestling with it because the Lord kept putting these things on my heart. And this is an angle I didn't expect to take with this. I wanted something like very, very fun, exciting. But it's kind of like the Lord's like, hey, there are people that are in situations that need to see a bigger picture of a father. Need to see a picture of a father who's working in their lives even whenever they don't see it. And God's got his part that he is going to be faithful to. Let me just say that. God is going to be faithful to building you to be exactly who he created you to be. And he's not going to relent. He's not going to give up on you. Can I hear an amen? God is going to consistently work in your life. God's going to send you messages. God's going to send you messengers. He's going to put people in your life. He's going to put situations in your life that's going to continue to bring you back and point you to him. And so the question is never, what is God going to do? What can God do? The question is, what are we going to do? Because again, we like to build, but what if God is the builder? And this is what I learned. We're not good at being helpers. We're better at being builders. We're better at being the ones in control rather than submit it to the one who is in control. Go back to the story of holding the flashlight. It was better for me to hold the light for me than it was to hold the light for Dad, but he was the one that needed the light so that he could see the work that needed to be done. It was my job to hold the light for him, but I always tend to hold the light for me because I want to see, I want it for me, but he wants us to hold the light for him. And so I begin to think, how does this work? How does God work in our lives? And what is the key to allowing him to build us? And so three quick things. Number one is this, I am committed. If God's going to build my life, I have to be committed to him. And this is a big word because a lot of times we define commitments according to our convenience. If it's convenient, I roll with it. But if it's not convenient, I got to see how we're going to make all of that work. And a commitment to God cannot be based on our convenience, but it's based on our understanding that God, I need you. And there is no one that can fulfill all the needs in my life but you. Can I hear an amen? Because God is a provider. Pastor Paul shared that last week. He is our source. He is our provider. So I'm committed to what? I'm committed to allowing God to work in me. I am committed to allowing God to work in me. In other words, God, here I am. My heart is open to you. Will you work in my life? Now, this is usually how we roll. God, I have this friend that really needs you. My spouse really needs you. Our marriage is struggling, so I want to lift my spouse up to you, Lord. Do you see? I'm fighting with my kids. Lord, will you change their heart? Like, these are the things that are so subtle that we don't realize. But what if? What if in that struggle with your child, it wasn't them? Like, what if it was you? I know, that's kind of in your face, but what if it was you? And what if we're just always praying, God, do something in them, when God is like, hey, knock, knock, I need to do something in you. And so the commitment is, God, I'm committed to allowing you to work in my life. Now know this, that God is more committed to us than we are to him. He is more committed to us than we are to him because we got all these things that we want, that we are enticed by and temptations, but he is more committed to us and he is more consistent than we will ever be in our lives. Amen. And so he is committed to us. And so what does he do? He uses things like his word. You ever read a verse and you start reading? Ooh, I don't like that. Let me go somewhere else. Let's go to Psalms. Let's get out of there. Let's go to Psalms. Oh, there it is. It's nice. Sitting under the trees, sitting in the fields. I like that. Peace. Peace, my soul. But he uses his word to what? Instruct us. He uses his word to correct us. Can I tell you what that is? That's God building us. And what is it that he's trying to build in us? He's trying to build some character. In other words, he's saying, if I'm going to do something significant in your life, I want it to last. In order for it to last, I've got to build a foundation. And so he works on our character. And sometimes we're wondering what's taking God so long to answer the prayer that we're praying for. Perhaps God's working on the character so that it'll sustain the answer that he wants to give you. Come on, that's good preaching right there on Father's Day. I mean, even with a nasal drip, that's good preaching. He's trying to build some character. That's why I say he's building something in our lives. We don't see it. Perhaps what you don't see is he's building the character to sustain the blessings that he wants to bring in your life. And so he uses his word to instruct and to correct us. He uses the church to equip us. Amen? He uses the Holy Spirit to empower us. And everybody wants the power, but what about the price for the power? Like, you don't just give a kid that's 3 years old the keys to your car and say, go pick up some milk. They're not ready for that yet. Are you grabbing what I'm saying? Like, there's some development that needs to take place in their lives. And what God wants to do is develop you to the point to where you can handle the things that he has for you. And the problem is that we're impatient. We don't like to wait. We want it now, now, now. And God's like, wait, wait, wait. And so then we start talking about in the waiting. God, where are you in the waiting? God, where are you in the waiting? And God's like, just hold the light. Just hold the light. But God, I want to see it. Just hold the light. Because eventually we're going to get this thing cranked. Perhaps what God is doing is he's developing something in your life so that it can sustain what he wants to bless you with. Are you grabbing this today? And some of the people, can I just throw this in? Because I have a lot of people in my life, and there are all kinds of people. There are some great people. There are some people that touch some nerves. Come on, anybody got some of those folks in your life? There are some people that are great encouragers. There are some people that are negative Nancys. I mean, all kinds of people in my life. And this is what I found. I mean, you can only do so much crowd control in your life. Next thing you know, you wind up living on an island in the middle of nowhere, and that's lonely. This is what you realize. God's using all kinds of people to build me. He's teaching me how to handle an attitude. He's teaching me how to use my words. Come on. You see what I'm saying? Like, we would rather the fired up preaching, but that's kind of stuff is the stuff that's going to determine. You ever put your foot in your mouth and realize, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Done it a million times. And you know how I learned those lessons? God puts people in my life to help me teach those lessons. Come on. Character development. But if he's going to build me, I got to be committed to it. I can't just run because it's not comfortable. I got to be committed. Here's the second thing. I got to be cooperative. I'm cooperative. The Bible says it like this. We are co-laborers with Christ. He's working, but we got to work with him. Give him something to work with. I am a co-laborer with Christ. This is what that means. I am not in charge of the job. Can I say it like this? I am not even in charge of my life. I surrendered that position to the Lord when I gave my life to him. Come on, let's grab that. When I surrendered my life to the Lord, I gave him lordship, leadership of my life. And so now I'm a co-heir, I'm a co-laborer with Christ, but I have to understand that he is the master builder, not me. And thank God, because he knows what he's doing. I don't. And so I'm co-laboring with him, and in order to do something for God, you have to be willing to do something with him. All right? And in order for him to do something, in order to do something with him, you have to allow him to do something with you. And it's literally just open heart saying, God, I am all yours. So let me make that practical. That means I'm teachable. I'm obedient. I'm teachable. I don't know what I'm doing. I can remember when I would work with my dad, I would try to act like I knew what I was doing because I wanted to impress him. And he would let me go for a little while, you know, just a little bit. I don't know if he was trying to feed my ego or just give me a shot. I'm not quite sure. But he let me do it for a little while. And then he would say, let me show you how to do that. And he would teach me the right way to do it. But what if I just thought my way was the only way? I wouldn't have learned a lot of the things that I've learned. Are we teachable? In our walk with God, let me ask you this. Are you teachable in your walk with God, or do you have the answers already? Did we look it up? Did we Google it and came up with the answers and then prayed expecting God to align with what we found in Google? I'm cooperative. I'm teachable. It also means I'm obedient. Hold the light. You can remember that for the rest of your life now. Hold the light. Some of you can go try it with your kids. Come here, hold that light for me. The obedience, watch this. The obedience put me in the right place at the right time to learn things that I never would have learned if I hadn't been there. See, I can change the water pump on my car now because I was there. It wasn't an enjoyable experience while I was there, but I was there. I was doing something that at the time seemed like it had no benefit to me. Hold the light for him. But being there exposed me to knowledge and some things that I wouldn't have had I not been there. The obedience positioned me. And this is something that we've got to grab, church, because we are living in a world of conditional obedience. If it's all good, I'll be there. I didn't have the option with my dad. It was, you're going to be there. But I'm thankful that I was there now, even though it was not the most convenient thing. It would have been more fun to sleep in. It would have been more fun to play and with my brothers and do other things. But that position it put me in set me up for something later on in my life. That's why I say it was actually building me. It was building something in me. But if I'm not there, it doesn't get put in me, and I no longer am able to do that. See, there's a lot of meat on this message today that a lot of people are grabbing. And in your mind, I see wheels turning because you're starting to put things together. Because some of you felt like you were slighted in your childhood. Some of you felt like you missed out on some things. But you're really realizing that God was using some of those weak things, come on, to build something strong in you. The things that were missing, you didn't realize that God was there the whole entire time. And maybe you said a part of your childhood wasn't there, but God was there the whole time. And he was the source the whole time, and God was providing people, and God was putting different things in your life. And if we would just cooperate with what God wants to do, we would see that we actually had more than we realized. So I'm committed. I'm cooperative. The third thing is I'm commissioned. I'm commissioned so that God can work through me. Pretty cool day whenever you get to the point, and I can't wait for my boys to do this for me, when we sit down at a restaurant and they say, Dad, I got this. I got it today. I'm going to pay for it. That's a cool thing. I remember the first time I did that for my dad. We about got in a fight in the restaurant. I'm like, Dad, I'm going to get it. No, you're not. Dad, come on. I'm a grown man. You don't pay for my meal, son. I'm your dad. I'm like, Dad, get off of it, bro. Let me buy your meal. But it was the point that I was able to do things that he did. See, that's maturity. If we're going to compare this spiritually, there are some things that God is trying to work in you where it becomes a maturity in your life. And it's just how you are. It's who you are. I act that way because God's built this in my life, and that's just how I respond to pressure. I used to freak out and panic, but now there's a peace that covers my soul. Why? Because God's built something in me, and now whenever I face those situations, I'm not falling apart. Why? Because he's built something in me that can sustain it. Where'd you learn that from? My father taught me that. I thought you didn't have a good dad. I have a heavenly father. Are you grabbing what I'm saying here? Like, there's some things that God wants to build in your life. And I feel like this is so necessary because if we're not careful, we see God as, instead of being father, we see him as fairy tale. And he makes all my dreams come true. And although I do believe that there is an element of faith and vision and dreaming and all of that stuff, I don't believe that God just wants to fairy tale this thing, but God wants to develop it in you. Are you grabbing this? And can I just say, there's more in you than what you realize today. I wish I was your dad so I can tell you that. There's more in you than what you realize. You think you don't have it, but it's stuff that God's put in there. There are seeds that God's put in there. It just hasn't been developed yet. Because you didn't realize that the fertile soil that God planted you in was necessary to produce the fruit of your life. You thought you were slighted, and so you've been holding back. But God put you there to grow this thing in your life. And had you not been there, you couldn't be who God wants you to be. I'm commissioned so God can work through me. I'm commissioned. So watch what this means. I got to make these points practical because you agree with the point, but you won't understand what it means. But when it says I'm commissioned, it means I'm available. I'm available, God. And this is a struggle for us because we got a lot of things that we like to do. Are you available to the work that God wants to do in your life? Have you made yourself available in a busy world? Have you made yourself available? And why do we make ourselves available? Because we're servants of God. See, a servant isn't just a position, it's a character trait, it's an identity, it's who I am. I don't serve for good PR. I don't serve so I can have enough little things to put on my resume to get the next position. It's who I am. It's, watch this, it's what my father taught me. It's an ethic that my father raised me with. Are y'all grabbing this? And so it's part of my nature to say, what can I do to help? It's just how God trained me. It's how he wired me. It's just, I'm wired to say, what can I do to help? How can I help? It's not because I go to that church. It's not because we have a serve day. It's because that's how our family is. That's how our father raised us. And I'm talking about our heavenly father. Are you grabbing this today? And so we always make ourselves available to help others. We always make ourselves available to serve because that's just the nature of our house. I can remember when I was a kid, I was in the grocery store at my grandparents'. And I was so little that I, you know, the shopping cart, they got the little rack underneath. I can remember that. I was so little. I was sitting underneath there holding on to the little thing on top my grandpa was pushing. I know you go to jail for that kind of stuff now, but back then you could do everything. And there was a lady that was trying to pick up a 50-pound sack of potatoes. And I saw her over there helping. I'm trying to lift this up. And my grandpa said, get out from under there. Let's go help this lady put this in her cart. So I don't know, 4 years old, trying to pick it up. I don't think I really put a lot of, you know, muscle into it because I didn't have a lot. Now I do, but then I didn't. But anyway, so we put it in the cart, and this is what he told me. I remember this so clearly. It was one of those signature moments of my life. He said this. He says, always be ready to help people. Just always be ready to help people. And when I was a kid, I thought, man, I don't. I got other things to do. But now that I'm older, I understand what he was trying to instill in me. It was this willingness, this desire. And these traits that I'm sharing with you today, these are things that I believe set up the work that God wants to do in us. He's building. I'm available because I'm a servant of God. And watch this. If I'm obedient, if I'm cooperating with him, if I'm committed, if I'm there with him, if I'm following his commission and I'm available, he'll anoint me. Meaning this, he will empower me. And there's nothing like being empowered by a father. I want to finish with this story. I was a team pastor for a football team, high school football team back in Louisiana. And there was a young man that played on this team. And it was his senior night, last game of his football career. He had a few offers to play college ball. He was undecided about what he was going to do. And he asked me at prayer meeting. We had prayer meeting before the game. This is public school, by the way. How awesome we were able to do that. He said, can you pray with me? I said, yeah, man, what's going on? He said, I want to pray that my dad will be at the game tonight. I said, okay. He said, my dad's never been to any of my games. I said, really? And this kid was really good. I said, is he out of town? Is he, you know, I didn't know what to ask. I was trying to be sensitive. He said, no, he's at home. He just never comes to my games. I said, wow. He said, I've been trying to get good stats so I can get in the newspaper, because I would hope that if he read the paper and saw my name in it, that he may want to come see me play. Man, I didn't grow up like that. So we prayed, and the game started, and I mean, this kid was going all out. But I noticed during the game, he would turn around and he would look up in the stands and he would study the bleachers, looking for that one person, just looking. Just watch this. He just wanted to know he was there. That's all. Just wanted him to know that he was there. And so halftime, the kid had already scored 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was just balling. And no dad. And so the end of halftime, he said, hey, if you see my dad, let me know. Like, let me know if you see him up there. Be looking for him. And so I would look. Never saw him, and this kid played his heart out, probably played the best game of his high school career. And at the end of the game, he said he didn't come, huh? I said, I didn't see him. And he's crying. He decided to quit football that night. See, football was just it was his attention getter. It was, hopefully this will get my dad to look in my direction. Because all he wanted, this is what he told me. He said, all I want my dad to say is I'm proud of you. That's it. That's all. Those words, so powerful. So very powerful. And I'm thankful my dad, every time I'm on the phone with him, every time I see him, he doesn't let it go away without, I love you, I'm proud of you. But I have a feeling that there's folks here today, just like that kid that's just going all out trying to perform. There's people in here trying to perform so well as a mom, as a dad, trying to perform so hard on the job, trying to make sure everything is just perfect. Trying to figure out why, what's going on, what drives you. And I think sometimes it's just because we just need to hear that father. Sometimes we don't know how to hear dad because maybe some things growing up in our lives. Sometimes whenever you don't have a good dad and you see other people who do, you think that their dad is perfect and that they can't relate to what you didn't have or what you went through. But like I said earlier, there are no perfect dads anywhere, but there is a perfect heavenly father. Watch this, who knows exactly what you need. There are people in here today that needed this message so much. And there's a lot of striving that's going on in our world today. And we're trying to prove something. And I just feel like God is saying, you don't have to prove it. You don't have to prove it. I already see it. And I think to that dad out there who's wondering if he's doing good enough, I think he would say, I see you and I'm proud of you. To that mom who is just sinking and just need some encouragement, and you've asked your husband to give it to you 1,000 times, and he just says, hey, you're doing a good job, but it just doesn't have enough oomph to it. I think the Heavenly Father would say, hey, you're crushing it. You're doing this. Good job. To that single mom that is just feels like she's completely lost and wondering, God, do you even know? Do you even see me? I feel like God's saying, I know, and I got your back. And I'm with you. To that marriage that is struggling, and maybe you feel a little embarrassed to even your own family and don't even want your family to know what's going on, God says, I see and I'm here with you. He is a present Father. He did not leave you. He did not forsake you. He is here. And today, just like we mentioned during this message, will you just say, God, I'm committed to you? Will you just say, God, hey, I understand that I'm a co-laborer with you. I'm going to cooperate with you. God, you got a commission for my life. I want to live that out and let God begin to work, because there are spots, there are little places in your life that God wants to put his hand on. And with every head bowed, every eye closed here today, the most important thing ever is your relationship with the Father. your Father God. And maybe, like I said, you know God more as the one who just takes care of everything. But do you know Him personally? Personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yes, He forgives your sins, but I'm talking about one where there's fellowship, where there's conversation, where there's this exchange between you and Him, and He's building your life, and you're following His lead, and God is making sense of it all. Listen, that's the kind of relationship He wants with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want a relationship with God. I want a real relationship. I don't want just a religious experience, but I want a relationship with Jesus. Would you raise your hand real quick? Come on, anyone else? I need a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, thank you. We pray this prayer every Sunday together, and at times it feels so generic, but listen, can I tell you, and I want you to look at me, there are elements of my phone calls with my dad and the conversations with my dad where every time it's about the same stuff. When I get on the phone with him today, you know what he's going to talk about? The weather. It's been raining. It's been so hot. This has been the hottest summer ever. And why do I tell you that? Because sometimes our prayers feel like it's the same thing over and over. But sometimes those little things are just the conversation starters. Come on. I'm trying to help somebody today who's struggling with their relationship with God, who's struggling with a relationship with a father, and get you to see that God's building something in your life. You don't realize it. All you see is your struggle and your pain, but God's working. He's really working. So when we pray this prayer, even though it sounds generic, I'm talking to Dad. Talking to my Father. Come on, will you pray with me this morning, church? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for not leaving me, for not forgetting me, but sending your best for me, sending Jesus to pay the price for my sins so that I could be forgiven. So today I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins, to wash me, cleanse me, make me a new person. And I commit my whole life to you. I surrender all to you. I want to cooperate with your will for my life. Lord, change the way I've been living. Change the way I've been thinking. And help me to see you as my Father. I need you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you pray that prayer today, maybe it was a recommitment to God. Maybe it was your first time ever praying a prayer like that. There's a connection card in your worship guides. Why don't you grab that, fill that out.